I'm John Glover. I was Lionel Luther on Smallville, and I will always, always hold on to Smallville. And I hope you all do too.
Welcome to Always Holding to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined this week by, from the nerd party, Mr. Daniel Prue. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, how's it going? I haven't been here in a while. It's good to be back.
Yeah, man, see, we had you kind of on a track of when Clark gets new powers, but he doesn't get any new powers in season 5, so there wasn't really an obvious episode to plug you into.
Yeah, I got in right under the wire, so that's okay, though.
So next season, he does get super breath, so I think we can go ahead and pencil you in on that one to keep that trend going.
Oh, yes, with you and the new powers. Absolutely, yes, pencil me in.
So we'll go ahead and get that out of the way right now, guys. You know what to expect, Daniel. He'll be back. Next season on Sneeze. But that is interesting. You know, he got flight in season 4, and you're like, well, what else is there? And in season 5, they're like, well, he got the Fortress of Solitude. I guess that's fine. We don't need to give him any powers. And then you get to, like, season 6, and I'm like, what's, okay, super breath. That's what's left. But there really is nothing other than, like, microscopic vision, which he just mentions that he has later on. That's really it. He really doesn't get any more powers, does he?
No. And there's plenty to choose from, you know, in the source materials. Superman has been able to do some pretty amazing things over the years in the comics and stuff like that. He never gets his cellophane, thing he can throw at people. So what? Missed opportunity, I say.
The kiss of forgetfulness. Yeah. You know, turning back time. There's so much to choose from. But yeah, but probably for the best, they didn't go into those weirder categories. But yes, regardless, no new powers. But you're going to talk about Lockdown. And this is an episode that I didn't remember very well. Daniel, what about you?
Yeah, you mentioned it, and you're like, this is the one with the safe room. And that didn't help. And then I watched some clips from the show, and that didn't help either. Thankfully, when I actually watched the episode, I was like, okay, now I know what this is. But I know this was completely forgettable for me from my previous watches.
It's kind of wedged in between, like, really important stuff on the show. You know, season 5, you get, like, Brainiac, and that kind of, the first arc of Brainiac kind of came to a head a couple episodes earlier, and then we get the 100th episode kind of up next, and this is the 99th episode, so it's like a bridge episode to get you where you need to be, but hey, to its credit, I really, rewatching it, I applauded it for so much continuity it attempted to address, like, to kind of clean some things up that were floating around, so we'll talk about all that good stuff, but Lockdown... One of its working titles was Closer, I guess, referring to Lex and Lana getting closer. I think Lockdown is a much better title.
Yes.
So I'm glad they changed it. Now, the other title they could have called it was Panic, because we'll say it right now. This is I have always seen this as the Panic Room episode. And around this same time, there was that movie Panic Room that came out. And so this, I'm calling it right now, this is a plus one for a movie plot as an episode, because Lex literally says the words panic room in this episode. So if I was on the fence about it, that pushed me over the edge. I'll put like a trailer or whatever on the social media of that. I'm sure lots of movies have panic rooms, but because that movie came out when Smallville was out, that's what it made me think of. And yeah, hey, Sheriff Adams, right? This is her last episode. What are your thoughts on that?
It feels pretty... how long has she been on at this point?
So, okay. So, this is the 99th episode. She appeared late in the second season. But total, she was in 22 episodes.
Wow. Yeah.
Up to this point.
It feels like super anticlimactic. Like she just goes out. It's like a chump. She doesn't go out like a hero or anything like that. She gets shot in the back by her own deputy. It feels so quick and fast and like a throwaway kind of a thing. I don't know. It just feels like it's a wasted death almost.
Is it too Tasha Yar-esque for you?
yes, it is. You could say that for sure.
Well, we'll get to that part. That's a very quotable line when she does get shot. But yeah, I guess that's really this episode's claim to fame. if there's anything, it's the end of Sherry Adams. Now, spoiler, she does come back in one episode in the future.
Oh, I don't remember that.
As pointless as you feel her death is here, that's as pointless I feel her cameo is there. But we'll talk about it when we get there. So, there you go. There's your pregame, folks. Let's get into it. Locked out.
I know you took that shit from the field after the meteor shower, Luther.
You do realize how crazy you sound right now.
Does this look crazy to you? I was there. I was part of the sheriff's response team that got wiped out. It was under my cruiser, half dead. I saw you roll up with your equipment and your men. You didn't even bother to see if anybody was still alive. All you cared about was hauling that ship away.
I'm sorry, but I still don't know what you're talking about.
You're going to make a great politician, Luther. You almost sound like you believe your own lies. You want to make it to election day? Tell me what I want to know.
Or what? I had this room designed after that little incident at the missile silo. These walls can withstand a nuclear blast. You'll never get in here.
You'll never get out. Your security team's tied up in the basement. Your wireless system is blocked. You won't be sending up any smoke signals for help.
Looks like we have ourselves a stalemate.
Well, I guess I'll have to find a way to break it.
Lockdown is the 11th episode of Smallville's fifth season. It aired on January 19th, 2006. It was written by Stephen S. DeKnight and directed by Peter Ellis. And we start out, and Lex Luthor, he's not happy with how the state Senate elections are going. He throws down his newspaper. I often take screenshots of these things, so I don't know if there's anything interesting, but I'll try to do that anyway. And he's talking to his campaign manager, and they're going back and forth. Then some cops show up. And they said, there's a bomb threat, Mr. Luthor. We have to evacuate the building. And he's like, bomb threat? What are you talking about? And then, of course, guess what? They're not cops, because in classic Smallville style, people have infiltrated the Luthor mansion, haven't they, Dan?
Yeah, I would say so. Security's a little lax, for sure.
So in Smallville, the official companion, season 5 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold, Michael Rosenbaum actually comments on this. He says, quote, they are the worst security team in the history of security teams. You figure when you live in a mansion, maybe Lex doesn't want to get security cameras because he's up to no good sometimes. But ultimately, there always seems to be a way to break into the mansion. I think that's a great point, because I'm like, why doesn't Lex just have security cameras? Like, well, he doesn't want to be watched himself, right? So maybe that's probably why, but I think that is funny. Like, they know it's a joke,
yeah.
Like the security of this place. They shoot his campaign manager. He was actually in a couple episodes, had a couple lines. I'm like, oh, that guy.
No, not that guy.
But he escapes to a safe room, the panic room, right? And I'm like, you know, for all this talk about security, it looks like he finally learned his lesson and now actually has a panic room. And I guess, you know, thinking back, this was the safe that all that kryptonite was in.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I guess he had to reuse it for something. That makes sense.
He's like, well, somebody ripped the door off of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he remodeled after all that went down in the season 4 finale, season 5 premiere, he's like, all right, well, this is great. I'll go ahead and make a panic room out of this. But what do these guys, why are they here? What do these guys want? So it's a man cop and a woman cop, and they're holding up the mansion. What do they want? They want the spaceship because they remember it was there, and that's what they want. And Lex is like, whoa, I'm in here, you're out there, you're crazy. And then it's a really weird final shot to end the teaser, I think. It was like this. I thought it was going to, like, reveal something. Like, it's Lex in the room, like, looking at his computer, and it's looking down at him. And I'm like, oh, is it going to, like, pan up and show us, like, this intricate? No, it's just a down shot of Lex staring at a screen. But that sets up the episode, right? He's in here, they're out there, they're kind of at a stalemate, and we'll take it from there. They also mention, like, they set up something that dampens, you know, cell phones and silent alarms or whatever. So that's something to think about for later, too. So we go to the opening credits and we come back, and it's Clark and Lana in the loft. And Lana is, shall we say, in the mood, Dan.
Yeah, I would say so. She's really trying. She's fishing for some affection, I'd say, here. And Clark is, well, he's being Clark, so of course. You know, 4 seasons of I Want Lana So Bad, and here we are, and then Clark has to be Clark about it.
She says to him, oh, so when you meant we should get together and study, you actually meant study. He's like, yeah, mm-hmm. It is rather amusing. It's very Clark, as you say. And she's really, like, putting it on strong. She's like, kiss me. And he kisses her, and he goes back to work. She's like, no, really, kiss me. What about your cousin? And, I've mentioned this on the show. I'm curious what you think, Dan. Like, Clark and Lana kissing, do they kiss like normal people? Because, like, as a young man watching this show, I was like, well, I guess this is how you kiss me. I mentioned this before on the podcast, too, but it's like, they eat each other's faces. It doesn't seem natural to me.
I think it's like a CW directive that it's supposed to be as sort of like visceral as possible for all the, we were young teens watching this, and you get the blood boiling a little bit. Maybe that's what it is. I'm not sure.
I would just encourage our younger listeners, if you're basing how to kiss people off this show, don't do it. I've done it. And I've gotten some feedback, and
not great, huh? Bring a towel. Like,
are you trying to eat my face? I'm like, oh, well, this is how they do it on Smallville. I don't know. So anyway, this is so CW, because like he's pulling back because, at this point in the show, he's lost his powers, he's got him back, and he's being very careful about, being intimate with Lana, and that's kind of what's going on here. And she's like, the most CW line of this episode, she's like, I can feel how much you want me. Why can't we be together? It's just like, oh my, what are these scenes, right?
Yeah, it was tough. It was a tough scene to get through.
But it does, it takes a quick turn to something else, right? Because she goes to leave, and Clark stops like, Lana, wait. And when he stops her, she drops her bag. And what does she have in her bag but all these classified blueprints of the spaceship from Luther Corp, right? This is stuff you carry around with you wherever you go, right?
Sure, of course. Especially to Clark's house,
Yeah, and he's like, what are these? She's like, nothing. It's like, what are you talking about? But I don't know. Like, I get why she didn't talk to him about it, because he doesn't want to talk about the spaceship with her, because that kind of points the arrow back at him being an alien. So he's in a complicated place. But, he does call her, like, why didn't you tell me about this? And she's like, oh, well, every time you want to talk about it, I want to talk about it. You want to change the subject. I almost died. And you just don't want to talk about it. And, like, I can, thinking about where she is, I can kind of see your point why she doesn't want to talk to Clark, I guess. Looking at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it just feels,
it is contrived, though.
Yes. You're right that it's complicated. It just feels more difficult than it has to be. It's like, if one person here was honest, you'd probably be in a better position. But I mean, I guess that's kind of the point of the episode, too. At the end, we learn,
the point of this entire series, Dan.
Yeah, I suppose that's true, yeah.
But yeah, there is that's a theme, right? Like, people not being honest, and, Lex ends up being more honest, and this is a slow push over her to the... to the Lex side, they're watering those seeds of Lexana, as they say. So then we cut back to the mansion, and this is really, Lex has a great line here. They're like, we want the spaceship, Luther, because they can talk through the, through the panic room, through the speakers and cameras. And Lex is like, have you tried the amusement park? They have one there you can ride for $1. That's a great Lex line, being in control. And that we get kind of the origin story of this cop, Flynn is his name. And he shows his hand that's all burned, and he explains that he was there in the season premiere in Arrival when the Kryptonians show up and burn everything and destroy cop cars and all that. And he was the last guy who survived, and he saw not only that, he mentioned this later, that girl was there. So that's how he knows who Lana is. But also he saw Lex and his people come clean up the spaceship and take it away. So people have thought he was crazy, so he's looking for proof. So, I think this is a pretty good motivation. I mean, is he going to extremes? Yes, but at least, this is I can get where this guy's coming from.
Yeah, I'm just, wondering in my head how that scenario played out. Like, wouldn't he be, crying out for help? Or, did they, step over him to get to the spaceship and stuff? But, yeah, no.
How long were you hiding there?
Yeah, exactly. But it makes sense, and that would break a person. I could see that being a problem. Yeah,
it is. The longer the episode goes, I know he's doing horrible things here, but I do kind of feel sorry for him, because everybody tells him he's crazy, and you see the footage of him later, and his psychiatry session. So anyway, we'll get into it more as we go.
And I'm sure we'll get into it. But it's really his girlfriend that's the bad one. She's the one that's doing all the damage.
That's exactly what I was going to say to you. Yeah, like, if you think about it, right?
She shoots the sheriff, and she's just like leaves Lana there to get blown up. The guy's trying to disarm it, and she's like, "No, we gotta go." And so
kidnaps Lana. Yeah, she's the one to blame here, you know. And she's not the crazy one, allegedly. So she's an active officer. Anyway. So then we cut back to the Kent farm, and hey, continuity. There's so much continuity here. We're talking about the season premiere. We're talking about this. We're talking about that. We're talking about the spaceship. A huge plus for continuity. I have a category on our tally board about wrecked Kent truck accidents, right? And what do we have? We have the Kents walking on the farm. We see the wrecked truck. I'm like, this has to be the first time that they were like, all right, well, we made this prop. Let's just put it in the background for an episode. Like, it's not magically repaired the next day. And but it's okay. As they walk by, we see there's the blue truck is okay over on the side. So that's how the driver. I just found that very amusing, because as many car accidents we see on the show, do we ever see any kind of aftermath? No. But there it is. So good on them for the continuity. So
what happened to that truck? Because I saw it. I'm like, something happened last episode or two episodes ago. But I can't remember.
A couple episodes ago, it's when Clark got infected with the silver kryptonite from Brainiac, and he thought people were chasing him. And then he did like some ridiculous like 5-barrel rolls in the truck, and he got completely smushed. Okay. You know, and seeing as the Kents, you know, they're in the middle of a political campaign here. That's where all their money's going, so they can't fix the truck. So it makes sense that it'd be sitting there. So I like that. I wonder what they did with that prop. You know, because you think like, did they keep buying like the show, right? Like they're like, do we buy another red truck? Do we keep this around? You know? Being resourceful.
Yeah, for sure.
But Clark tells Martha about Lana. She's like, she's been working on this ship with Lex for weeks, and she's been lying to me. And Martha's like, well, you haven't exactly been honest with her, Clark. And, you know, by the way, we have a plus one for blue shirt, red jacket, because Clark's wearing his pseudo Superman costume for most of this episode and this conversation. And it's funny because, you know, part of the Clark-Lana thing here is like, you know, they can't can't have sex. Because he's, you know, afraid of what his powers are going to do, right? And that was kind of, you know, it's been a thing since he came back from the dead with his powers. And he's like, oh, I wish I could tell Lana, because then she'd understand why we can't. And then he stops himself because he's talking to his mom.
Because it's mom, you know? Yeah. Awkward.
But she mentions like, well, you told Pete and Chloe, and they seem to accept you just fine. He's like, as an alien. She's like, no, as a friend. And he's like, well, I don't think Lana will feel the same way. I don't know. And Martha like drops some truth on him. She's like, look, well, maybe she's not the one you're supposed to be with, right?
Yeah, maybe.
And then who pulls up? Who pulls up, Daniel?
The one he's supposed to be with. Of course, it's Lois.
That was pretty fun. And then of course Clark has the line like, I can't see myself ever loving anyone but Lana. But then Lois shows up. I'm like, hey, you know, it was kind of subtle. Like, but it was very Smallville for someone to say something like that.
Yes.
And then have Lois late.
And then enter stage right. Yeah.
Right. And, he's kind of frowning about, like, this situation. So he looks kind of, you know, not in the best of mood. And Lois, who is now Jonathan's campaign manager, she's like, hey, turn that frown upside down, Smallville. You know, unhappy family members aren't good at the polls.
Yeah.
So that was funny. And then she gives him a little punch, a little nudge on the shoulder. Now, I have a tally board for Lois arm punches now. That seems to be a thing that they do. So that's a plus one for a Lois arm punch. It was kind of a nudge, but I'm going to count it. So it's kind of like their thing. So
yeah, anyway, it's a little flirtatious, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some sizzle there, mm-hmm. You know? I definitely feel more sizzle there than when Clark and Lana eat each other's faces. That's all I'm going to say.
I absolutely agree with you, yep.
But, you know, Lois and Jonathan start talking campaign stuff, and she's like, okay, here's the plan. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to have billboards and TV ads and this and that. And he's like, well, it's great, Lois, but it's kind of expensive, right? How are we affording all this? And she's like, oh, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You know, she's not answering his question, really. So that's filed away in the back of his head about all this stuff. So we'll get back to that. But then we have Lana driving down the road, and I guess these scenes, I'm not sure when all these scenes happened, right? Because like, think about, because Clark was like, well, I got to go to class earlier. And Lana's like, oh, don't want to be late to class. So it would be in the beginning of the day.
Right.
But then I don't know when, I guess he decided, oh, I'm just not going to go to class today. I'm going to tell my mom about how my girlfriend was working with my ex-best friend on a spaceship. And then And then literally the next scene is like, it's night.
Yeah.
And Lana is driving, and she has this headset on.
Oh, man, that was awesome. It's so, like, retro, early 2000s tech. It felt so silly.
Did you ever have one of those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think my mom probably bought me one once, and I don't think I ever used it. But it might have come with a phone, like one of those old Nokia phones. It's just so funny to see that. Responsible driving, though. So credit to you, Lana.
Yeah. Although that doesn't seem to be a problem most of the time for the show, but that's okay.
Well, Lois is the one usually on the phone, hitting dogs with her car, you know, driving off the road. But as we find out later, like, Chloe tells Clark, oh, yeah, she called me after your big blowout. I'm like, that was like 8 hours later. But anyway, that being said, I love pointing that stuff out about the show. So she gets pulled over, you know, and you see the sheriff lights behind her. And it's funny, she's talking to Chloe, like, I don't know, Chloe. I don't know what Clark and I, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay, well, I got to go because the cop pulls her over. And she's, like, looking for her license and registration, no doubt. And she's like, oh, sorry, officer, I know it was going a little fast. And then the cop, it's the female cop from earlier that's kidnapped Lex. And she's pointing a gun at her. She's like, that's the least of your problems.
Yeah, that's a good line. I'd be like, okay, all right, well, okay.
As you said, though, she is really the main driver for a lot of the stuff going on here. I don't know if Flynn or his, as we find out, that's his fiance. I guess that was some kind of, like, twist. Reveal at the end.
It was weird.
Throw that in there. Like, even my fiance, I'm his fiance. They won't let me see him. I'm like, you could have just established that. Because you do wonder, like, why is this fellow cop helping him? Like, because they're, you know, partners or whatever. But they could have just left it at that. I mean, she's doing some bad stuff. I don't recall if she shot the campaign manager earlier, if it was Flynn.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't remember either.
So, you know, he has some blood on his hands too. But she is doing most of the dirty work. Now, as we find out later, there was a tracking device on the car.
Okay, can we talk about that? Because where did that come from? Did they put that there? How did they, or is this from before?
Well, we find out, you know, later on that through all this sleuthing that it was Flynn's tracking device. And I guess at some point, but after the meteor shower, he was like, oh, I better start tracking Lana Lang just in case. Like, I thought, like, it made sense for them to go after Lana because he was there. He saw her there.
Right.
Like, he knows who she is. But, like, I don't know, like,
it's just not established in the episode, like, when he did it or why he did it or anything. They just have it. And it's just, like, there's not, like, even, like, a line where, oh, I tracked her because I knew she was there and got away or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was just, okay, we have a tracking device now. Yeah. That's convenient.
It's like, for the Lex panic room plot, you don't need the tracker, but for, like, everyone else, like, finding out what's going on, you do. And
right.
I think that's why they added it. But yeah, at what point did he was like, okay, good, I'm gonna start tracking this teenage girl around town, right? So they come because, you know, they've established they're in a stalemate at the Luther Mansion, and Lex is feeling pretty good about himself, and he actually mentions that after that the silo incident earlier in the season, that's the episode hidden, where they had the nuclear missile, and that's where Clark died and came back and stopped the nuclear missile. That's when he installed the safe room, and he could survive a nuclear blast. So I like that they at least acknowledge that it is a new room. And so what do they do to break the stalemate? They bring in Lex's one weakness, Lana, right?
Of course. Of course. That works out well for the bad guys. So
It does. But also, right, Lex needed to shoot this transmitting blocking device thing that the cops had set up. So they come out, they're threatening Lana. Then Lex comes out, and then him and Lana kind of take on the cops. Lex shoots the dampening device, I don't know what else to call it. And then they scramble back into the panic room, but then Lex gets shot.
Oh, no.
You know where this is going. They're going to grow closer now, as the title of the episode almost was. But now they're trapped into the gutter. So obviously Lex went out there to save Lana, but also he did need to shoot that dampening device. So it's like kind of like a win-win. He looks good either way.
Well, it was a win-win-lose. He did get shot. So,
well, you know, this is Smallville. Okay. He's getting shots like just a couple episodes ago, he got, like, shot and they had, like, spinal surgery, and that's when he had his whole Christmas fantasy. So this guy shot a lot.
Yeah.
So just another day at Luther Mansion. So then we have Lois. She's at, you know, campaign headquarters at the Talon, making calls and all this, talking to some guy named Bob on the phone about how Jonathan's going to get prime time. And, you know, Jonathan comes in and hears the end of that. He's like, well, that sounds pretty expensive, Lois. She's like, oh, Bob has a crush on me. And then she looks down at her breast and she's like, well, a crush on some parts of me. I was like, damn.
Yeah. It's Lois being Lois.
Lois being Lois. So Jonathan like clears the room. He's like, could y'all give us a minute? And all the staffers leave. I love how they're wearing the little like political hats, you know, like the 1920s hats that people used to wear like at baseball games and stuff, because people still do that at political rallies, apparently.
Of course. Of course.
You know, Jonathan kind of corners her. He's like, look, all this stuff is great. I appreciate what you're doing, but it seems like you're spending more than we have, a lot more. And you're not answering my question, so where's this money coming from? She's like, okay, Lionel Luther. And then, you know, he reacts as expected. And, you know, to Lois's credit, though, you know, because Lionel had approached Martha to give her a check in the previous episode, you know, and she, and then Martha told Lois, but she's like, don't tell Jonathan. So to Lois's credit, she's like, oh, well, Lionel presented this money, and he didn't ask for anything, and it's more important that you win. Like, she doesn't throw Martha under the bus at all. So, you know, good on you.
She falls on the sword, for sure, yeah. That's very sweet of her.
And I couldn't remember. I'm like, is Jonathan, like, fire here or something? But he doesn't. He's just really disappointed.
Of course. Know?
And he's upset about it, as you would. I mean, like, regardless of Lionel being, like, better this season, you know, with all the history that they've had, like Jonathan says, you don't know Lionel Luther like I do. Like, they've had years of history. So, I mean, Jonathan, he's a hothead and pretty stubborn, but I'm kind of, like, if I were Jonathan, I would not take money from Lionel Luther either, you know?
Yeah, so. No, absolutely not. He knows exactly what he does with it, so.
Get money out of politics, that's what I say.
Hey! So,
what a concept. So, hey, and so we have a really cool new establishing shot of Metropolis University. I haven't noticed it before. Before we go into Chloe's dorm room, you see like the Daily Planet and Metropolis behind it. Like, it's just like, oh, wow, look at you, show, making new establishing shots. So then Clark super speeds in and like screws up all Chloe's papers and stuff. And she's like, could you slow down before you blow my homework off my bed and all that? He's starting to put Chloe in an awkward situation, right? Because he's like, so how long have you known about Lex and Lana working together? She's like, I didn't know about the ship at all. And he's like, well, can you call her and can we ask her about it? She's like, okay, look, I'm both your friends. I don't want to be put in the middle of this. You know, I think this is actually a pretty relatable situation for people. Like, you know, we all have friends, and sometimes you get in the middle of things, and Chloe's like, look, I want no part of this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's Clark being Clark, not really thinking about Chloe at all in this scenario. So it's nice when she pushes back on that sort of stuff.
Her phone rings, and he's like, hey, is that Lana? Like, I laughed at that. I remember laughing at that back in the day. I laughed at it now because it's one track mind.
Yeah.
And it's not Lana. It's the sheriff's department in Smallville. And they have found her car abandoned on the side of the road. So Clark super speeds over there. And we got Sheriff Adams, Bill Mitchell, in her second-to-last appearance on the show. Yeah, you know, I got to say, they've made Sheriff Adams, like, way more competent this season and less of a joke. Like, back in Mortal, in the second episode of the season, like, there's, like, a hostage situation. She's handling it real well. She's handling this situation real well. So she's come a long way from the cartoon caricature of a sheriff that Perry White described her as, which I love to reference because that's, like, that's the perfect description of her in her first few appearances.
She didn't like Clark in the beginning. And I'm like, oh, hey, she's been really friendly to Clark. It's nice that she, I guess, they came together at some point. But
they've come to an understanding, you know? Yeah. You know, the two of them. Because, you know, Clark is very—he might get in the way of things a lot, but he's very helpful as well.
Yes.
But Clark, he does a really stupid thing here, right? His girlfriend has just disappeared. Yeah. They found her car abandoned on the road. What is the first thing he tells her, Daniel?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but they got in a fight, and I was thinking that the sheriff's response was going to be, "Oh, really?" and that kind of thing, like returning to the scene of the crime. Like, right. You don't go to the. It's so funny that she didn't even occur to her, though. It, like, I guess there's such a level of trust there that it's not even a thing that she would think Clark would do. But yeah, I got in a fight with this girl and she disappeared, and now I don't know where she is. Let me help you look for her.
That makes you suspect number one.
Yeah,
right? I mean, just listen to a true crime podcast, okay? Like, it's just no, do not tell people that we just got in a fight before somebody disappeared. But as I was just praising her of doing a good job, maybe I spoke too soon. But you know, Clark, he uses X-ray vision to kind of survey the scene of the crime, and that's when he finds that tracking device I mentioned, like underneath the hood of her car. So he pulls it out, and she's like, "How in the Sam Hill did you find this device?" He's like, oh no, just lucky, I guess. It's the hunch. So she you know, she looks at it. She says, looks like there's some kind of serial number here, and she starts reading it. And I thought he had sped off before he heard the serial number, but apparently not, because they look it up later. So
he did. She was still reading it off when they play the sound effect. So I'm like, yeah. You probably should. I guess he could still hear because he's
super hearing.
Yeah. So, but he's in a rush, I guess. So.
But then we get our another turn in the episode, because at this point we're not sure, because, you know, Lex had told the man and woman cop, quote unquote, earlier, like, let me guess, you guys aren't really cops. So you think they, you know, they were cops and now they're like impersonating cops. But it turns out the female cop is still on the force, right? Harris is her name. And Sheriff Adams calls and she's like, Harris, got a, because they had a silent alarm trigger at the Luther Mansion, because once Lex turned off or shot that dampening device, he could set off a silent alarm. And she checks in, and Harris is on the scene. She's like, oh, false alarm, all clear. Like, oh, she's in on it. So I thought that was a good turn, because you didn't know if she was like a real cop still or not.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. That was played nicely.
So then Flynn, he's talking to Alex and Lana through the cameras and microphones, and he's like, hey, I messed with the climate controls, so I'm gonna heat you guys out. You know, it's gonna get warmer and warmer in there. The air circulation is gonna stop. So not only that, you know, Lex is bleeding out because he's been shot. And this is where Lex mentions panic room. He says those words. So definitely, just to reinforce my plus one for movie plot as an episode. That's where we are now. And you know, she's tending to his wound. It's one of those, like, you know, Florence Nightingale situations, right? Isn't that what they say in fiction when somebody's injured and someone's attending to them, and they it brings them closer.
Yes,
together.
They have a moment, you could say.
Yes, the first of many in this episode, actually.
Yeah.
So, Sheriff Adams shows up anyway, because she's good at her job.
Yeah.
You know, she's like chewing out here. She's like, you don't just write off a false alarm and a senatorial candidate a couple weeks before an election. It's like, get your head in the game. So, you know, but Harris is all like, oh, it's all fine here, you know. But she just walks in and she, you know, sees the campaign manager that's dead. And then she sees Gregory, but he points his gun at her. But then Sheriff Adams is there. Like, we have a shot of her, and then we hear the gunshot. And we're like, oh, what happened, right? And then she looks down and she's bleeding through her chest, like it was directly in the heart. And she says one of the best quotes in Smallville, well, ain't that a mother? She collapses, and it was Harris who shot her in the back, right? Shot in the back by your own staff.
In the back. I mean, I'm telling you, this woman is no good. This poor guy went through a traumatic experience. This woman, she's taking advantage.
What is her excuse, right?
Yeah.
So, but in The Companion, Camille Mitchell had this to say about her character's death. She said, quote, they told me that she was going to die. They were really very nice about it. I think what was explained to me was that it was said earlier that someone close to Clark would die. Not that my character was particularly close to Clark, although the episode Hidden was already leaning toward her being much friendlier with Clark, as we talked about. But the idea was that they were going to use my death as something of a red herring in the 99th episode, possibly implying that this was the person who was going to die. And of course, it was John Schneider in the next episode. So there you go. Because we have this, you know, this ticking clock this season. Like, Clark got resurrected, but someone close to him. Well, technically, they said someone you love. So let's not, you know, you love Sheriff Adams.
Yeah. I don't think I would have ever thought that Sheriff Adams would have been that person. They were building that up, I remember, so much. And also, does Clark react to her death in this this episode? I don't remember.
He does when he comes back and he finds the dead body in the mansion.
Yes. Yep,
there is there was a beat, and I did appreciate that. I'm like, he kind of looks like, oh, like he looks really mad about it. So
yep.
Like, no, nothing is said, as so many supporting characters come and go on the show, right? Nothing is said, but there is, at least there is a beat there, and I do, and you know, like you had mentioned, like you could tell like they had a better chemistry, or you know, relationship now than they had in the past. And you know, he's at college now, so he's not always in her business as much as he used to be,
I guess. Right.
But hey, Sheriff Adams, right? Over 20 episodes, became a real staple of the show. That is kind of a shocking loss, because she's one of those characters you just expect they're going to be around, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like ultimately, although she was annoying when she first showed up, I did come to enjoy her as a character and all her shtick. And it was sad that this see her killed off like that. And they definitely wrapped up her character better than they did Sheriff Ethan Remember what happened to Sheriff Ethan?
He turned out to be terrible, I think, right? What happened?
He's the guy that, well, he and Jonathan had been friends for years.
Forever, right? Like since they were kids, I think.
Yeah,
right?
And in the middle of the second season, Sheriff Ethan shoots Lionel Luther but frames Jonathan.
Oh, yes.
And it's And then it's like a terrible, like, he was a much less developed character than Sheriff Adams, you know? He was just always kind of there, like, oh, the old town sheriff, you know? And then it's like, oh, whoa, he has a really dark side, and he's just going to frame his, like, best friend for 20 years for murder.
Yeah.
Like, that is a very extreme turn. So, like, they did him dirty, I think, and they handled Sheriff Adams much better, so.
So can we tease the future? Who is the next sheriff? I don't remember.
I don't think they bother to.
Do they not establish a third one? Okay, that's probably why I don't remember.
Well, because it's like, you know, in theory, they're, you know, going to be out of Smallville. They're going to college, going to the Daily Planet, you know, so they don't spend as much time with these small town dealings as they had before. But I will tell you now, Sheriff Adams, Camille Mitchell, does return in season 7, the episode Apocalypse, where Clark experiences a world where he never came to Earth. And she is like the secret surprise informant he runs into in this alternate universe scenario. And they had mentioned, like, oh, they're going to bring back a guest star. And everybody's like, oh, who's it going to be? And it was Sheriff Adams. We're like, oh, well, it's nice to see you, but it's not really what I was expecting.
Yeah, you're kind of expecting somebody a little more significant, yeah.
Well, at that point on the show, this is that's late season 7. So John Schneider and Ned O'Toole have both left. You're like, oh, maybe they're going to get the Kents back, or maybe Pete, or
right.
Jason Teague. He can come over from Supernatural for an episode. No, it was Sheriff Adams. So anyway, but hey, pour one out for Sheriff Adams. She died in the line of duty doing the right thing. So then we cut to Chloe doing some hacking. Clark and Chloe doing some hacking at the Daily Planet. Clark is always so impatient when Chloe's trying to find this thing. He's like, why is this taking so long? I'm like, God, Clark, she's like hacking into databases. Give her a break, right?
Why don't you do it, Clark, if you're so much better than it?
But they've gotten the serial number off the tracking device, which Clark somehow heard after he super sped off. And I'll take a screenshot of this of like his profile online. But they find out, oh, he was a sheriff at the sheriff's department. It's one of those things where he needed to explain to Lex who he was and what happened to him. But it feels kind of like Chloe and Clark are discovering it for the first time. And, like, in a normal episode, this would be when we learned it, too, don't you think?
Right, right. Yeah, it's like double exposition. We get the same information twice, just in two different ways, but...
It's great storytelling. Being two steps ahead of the main characters, that's always what you want to be as the audience. Yeah. We're like, oh, good, they finally know what we know.
Yeah. Oh, you're catching up. All right, let's go.
They find out that he was the only survivor of this assault, but he got put on psychiatric leave. So then we get to Jonathan and Martha in the barn, and Jonathan's pretty mad that Lois accepted money from Lionel, and Martha's like, I accepted the money, because she's like, don't defend her, Martha, and she's like, I accepted the money from Lionel, and she comes clean, and basically it's a matter of ends justify the means. She's like, look, you know, you don't think all these other people that you borrowed money from are going to ask for favors, but again, it's Luther money, right? I mean, like, in the pilot of the show, you know, they give Clark a truck for saving Lex's life, and Len John's like, you take that truck back.
Yeah.
You know, we're not taking that money. So I agree. I think I'm on Jonathan's side here. Like, I'd rather lose the right way than win the wrong way. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's we have this character in Lionel that's done so many terrible, awful things that it's really hard to justify taking that money. But on the other hand, you know, we know how stubborn Jonathan can be, and I think that Lois and Martha are just being realists, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And they want him to win. So, you know, well, there's a compromise at the end, I guess we find out. But it makes sense from a character standpoint, like where their motivations are and Jonathan, you know, being unyielding in his opinion of taking that money. But I think it's a good beat. And here's an example, too, of two characters, like, being pretty open and honest with each other about it. Like, we didn't see with Clark and Lana, and it's nice to see.
Yeah, and as senator, right, not only is he becoming senator, but he's keeping Lex Luthor from becoming senator, so I think that's the bigger game here. And Lionel doesn't want his son to win either, so I mean that's because he knows, you know, what would happen if he got political power. So lots of factors at play here for sure. So we cut back to the panic room, and it's getting hot in there, you know, they're sweating, and all this stuff, and Lex starts to get delirious, quote unquote. I mean, I guess that's how he can, how they can, or Lana can just excuse his behavior or his comments, because it's kind of fun. She's like, "Talk to me about something." He's like, "Do you think I look better with hair?" She's like, "I hadn't thought about that."
That's a great line. And I think Michael Rosenbaum thinks he looks better with hair too.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. That's why he wore a ball cap when he came back for the series finale.
Yeah.
And then of course, it starts to go to Clark. Right? He's like, Clark has really nice hair.
It's so funny that I never thought of like Lex being jealous of that aspect of Clark before, you know, because there's so many other things that you'd be jealous of. But it's a great little character beat. I love that.
It is. It's awkward, but it's also all very amusing as well. That's going on here. And then, you know, he mentions to Lana, like, you know, Lana, I had a dream. And this is him talking about the events of Lexmas when he has that, you know, vision of the future. And he's like, Clark and I were still friends and you were in it and you were the best part. Like he goes all the way. He doesn't say like, yeah, you were my wife and we had a couple kids. Like, he doesn't say that, but it's all kind of implied. But again, she thinks he's like delirious and like bleeding out and stuff. So he can get away with saying this stuff, I think, more so than usual. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, I definitely think Lana got the impression that that's what was happening, but she was just kind of passing it off because, yeah, you know, he's dying. So,
yeah. And then he eventually reveals to her, like, she's like, just let's just tell him where the ship is. It's not worth our lives here. He's like, well, that's the thing, Lana. Like, I lost it. She's like, you lost it? And so poor Lana, like, lies everywhere. She's like, when are you going to tell me this? Because, like, she gives Clark this whole thing earlier about how Lex is honest with me and we're getting to the bottom of the truth. And then Lex is like, yeah, I lost the ship. It was weeks ago. Sorry, I didn't tell you. So poor Lana here lies everywhere she goes, right?
It's all she wants is the truth, she says.
And she never gets it.
No, not anywhere. So,
but if, you know, if I were Lex, I wouldn't tell people I lost the ship either.
No.
You know?
It's like, no. That's... Hopefully it reappears, because, you know, that's a pretty significant thing to lose.
Yeah, and I mean, he thinks Lionel took it. He doesn't know, right? Of course, it was very vague how, like, when Clark defeated Brainiac, everything just disappeared, which is a very sci-fi thing.
Yeah. You know?
But don't worry, we'll see the ship again. You know, Lana, like, she gets this resolve now. And I got to say, you know, season 5 has been Lana's and Kristen Kirk's, like, best season. Because I really like how she, like, kind of puts on her game face and goes out there. Like, I puts on her jacket. She means business. She comes out of the panic room. She's like, I'm going to take you where the ship is, but you got to save Lex first. And they're like, no, you take us where the ship is, and we'll save Lex. And she's like, all right, I'll do it. But no, I mean, like, we you know, we're critical of how they've written the Lana character and how she's been portrayed. And a lot of that is the writing, right? But I feel like season 5, you know, whenever she is dealing with Lex, like, she has all the best scenes, I think, on this show. So.
So you're a Lana and Lex shipper then, huh? Is that what you're saying?
See, no, not really. See, you put me in a tough spot there. I like them platonically together.
All right,
but I'm
that's
just saying.
Fair.
Well, the thing is, like, they write them better because Lex is a more mature character, obviously. So she has to be involved in more mature stories than, like, Clark, why don't you tell me your secret? I can't tell you, Lana. Like, that's the same. It's gone on repeat for years now between Clark and Lana. And with Lex and her, it's like refreshing.
Yeah.
But don't get carried away with it. Like, you know, they don't have to get married.
Well, this is Smallville, so restraint isn't exactly their best strength, but that's okay.
No. No. So then we get to the hospital. It's not a hospital visit just yet, but we do get to the hospital, and they play some really silly music, like, something silly is going to happen. Like, you know, you always know when it's like a comedy kind of scene. And, this is a scene that should be in, like, every episode when Clark and Chloe go somewhere and try to get in somewhere. Sometimes they have obstacles and sometimes they don't. But this time they need to get into, like, the psychiatric ward, and they want to go through they want to do more research on Gregory Flynn. And there's, like, a security guard there, and Chloe's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to go around here. We're going to get some passes. We're going to come back. We're going to get the visitors list. But Clark's like, nah, I got it. And then he super speeds in and out, and Chloe's like, what'd you do? And this guy's about to eat his lunch, and he opens up this soda can. It explodes all over him. And then he has to go change. I thought it was really cute.
That was a super cute little scene, yeah. It's nice. It's nice. Sometimes it feels like on Smallville, sometimes Clark isn't thinking like two steps ahead, but here he is just improvising, and it's a cute scene between those two.
Well, and whenever he can use his powers in, like, everyday cute ways like that, you know, like, even like, I'm going to burn my toaster.
Yeah, yeah, know, yeah. Like, Because you would do those things, absolutely.
Exactly what she would do. So they get in and they start watching the tapes of Flynn's, you know, interviews in the psychiatric ward. And he's talking about how like there was a spaceship and they killed everybody, and people are like, man, your team got hit by a meteor. That doesn't make any sense. So I was curious. Again, talking about the continuity of this season, I thought to myself, a spaceship landed. Kryptonians came out and were like blowing stuff up, and they were all around town. Like, how is this not a bigger story, right? But if you think about it, they killed almost everybody they came in contact with, and then Lex took the ship, and then of course Clark's sitting in the Phantom Zone, so it is kind of contained. And then of course, if you were like a outsider, you'd be like, look, bro, you got hit by a meteor. Like, what are you talking about? So I think the reaction is pretty reasonable of the staff, right?
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is, but like you, it's like sometimes it feels like, how could they even contain all that information? That's crazy, like nuts, crazy things that happen in Smallville, and people just don't pay attention to it, except for the weirdos.
Yes. Well, also, it was extremely Terminator 2 when it's like Sarah Connor talking, they're all dead, Judgment Day, right? And she's like screaming at the camera, and like they literally do the same thing, because Flynn here, he's like yelling, and like they pause it right when he's like looking at the camera screaming. That's exactly what they do in Terminator 2. Like, you're all dead, you don't even know it. Like, anyway, and I love Terminator, so that's the first thing I thought of him. And I think that's a nice homage to something like that. So well done, show. But he does mention that girl was there, and Clark's like, oh, that's Lana. So then he super speeds over, because now they know that, you know, this guy thinks Lex took the ship and da 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 da. And again, you wouldn't get here unless they found the tracker and traced it to that guy, you know. So that's why we had to go through all these roundabouts to get Clark to the mansion finally.
So yeah, now he finally knows where he's supposed to go.
Yes.
Because he could have fixed all these problems pretty quickly.
Just, yes.
But obviously they had to try to stop that from happening. So it makes sense.
Clark shows up at the mansion and he sees like the carnage, right? Of course, the cops and Lana have already gone, but he sees Sheriff Adams. That's where he has that beat, you know, where he sees Sheriff Adams is dead. And for a minute there, I was like, no, she's not still alive, right? Because I remember that, ain't that a mother? That's her last line. She doesn't say anything else, but he's like, Sheriff. And I applaud them for not doing like the video game thing or the movie thing where you go to the character and they have to say like their last, like three or four sentences of wisdom, and then they die. I was like, please don't do it. And they didn't do it. So, and it's more sad that she's already dead. You know, I mean, there's nothing he can do to save her.
Yeah.
But then he finds Lex bleeding out in the panic room there. We cut back to the cops and Lana, and they're going to this warehouse where the ship was. And because I always thought, see, I guess Lex was moving the ship around. Because, you know, I thought it was in like the fertilizer plant, like at least in the season premiere, that's where it was. So I guess he was moving it around. I don't know, because we're in some warehouse on the outskirts of Metropolis now. That's where we are.
Yep.
And the cops, the plan is to not blow up the spaceship, because they're like nothing can hurt it, but they want to create a big explosion that gets the attention of the media, and then everyone won't know they're crazy, you know. And this is when we get the exposition, like, yeah, they locked him up. They wouldn't even let me see him, and I'm his fiance. Like, okay.
Yeah, it feels really weird. Like, we're learning this late, and okay, I guess that's why you're doing all of this. But why does it turn you into a murderer? I don't understand what's going on here. But
so, of course, the ship is gone.
Yeah.
Right. But we knew this, right? Lana knew this, but she at least had to get him out of there to maybe, you know. That's their only hope of getting out of there and getting Lex help. But they're pretty mad about that. And she's like, I didn't know. I thought it was here. Trust me. You know. But then she uses her Lana Fu to get out of the situation. There's like this big, for some reason, there's this giant like pile of tubes that she kicks over.
What? I don't know where that. Okay. So I guess they were using them to tube something to the ship. I don't know.
Get air ventilation in here. I don't know. But she kind of kicks that over, and then it falls on Flynn, and then his fiance goes to help him after Lana like kicks her. But then Lana gets knocked out, right, by Harris.
Again.
Yes. So we have another plus one for a knockout to keep Clark's secret. So the brain damage and bullets entering people's bodies, these people – when they get in their 60s, it's going to be tough, because it's all going to catch up to them, I think. So I laughed out loud at this next moment, right? It's like a close-up of Lex, and he's got like a mask on because he's at the hospital, so we have a plus one for hospital visit for Lex. And Clark's like, where's Lana? And like the EMT's like, get this guy out of here.
Yes, I thought that was awesome. Yeah, that was great. It's
like a realistic reaction. Like, who is this person? Get him out of this guy's dying. And he's yelling at him. Like,
yelling at his face, yeah.
But Lex does. He's like, it's Warehouse 15. And it's like, how is Clark supposed to know where Warehouse 15 is? Like, I'm sure, Lex, thanks for the info. Like, let me go figure that out. But he somehow does. And he super speeds to that warehouse. Because it's not a Luther Corp place. It's like a shack.
Yeah, it's warehouse is generous, I feel like. It's
in the warehouse district, I bet.
That's probably true. And it's weird because, like, you would think that it would be super duper high security with, like, all these guards. But it seems to be in an abandoned warehouse. Like,
well, the ship's gone, so there's no need.
Yeah, that's true. That's
think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Lex has got he reallocated those resources to his political campaign. So it's like, well, the ship's gone. I don't need those guys there all the time. So we actually get a bit of stock footage here. We mentioned Hidden a few times in this episode, but it's interesting how they did it. And I remember this back in the day, and I remember when I got the DVDs, I like compare. I'm like, I knew it. I knew they were using this shot. It's when Clark super speeds to the warehouse and like stops and looks, and then uses X-ray vision and finds Lana. Like, I don't know if they decided they needed that later, and they didn't have a reaction shot of Tom Welling. So what they did was they took the Clark part of the shot where he's finds the nuclear missile going up in the air from Hidden. And, like, he's, like, looking, like, intensely. And so they take that, but they change the background. So I guess they shot that on a green screen or something. But the background is, like, the city. But it's the same exact shot. You can go back and look at it. I'll post a screenshot so people can tell.
Was he wearing the same clothes?
Well, he always wears the red and blue, yeah, Dan. That's the beauty of it. Like,
well, sometimes it's a blue jacket, so I didn't know if it...
No, that they didn't have to, like, recolor his clothes. So they probably, like, crap, we need a reaction shot. Then they probably, like, scrolling through to see what episodes does he wear the red jacket. But, no, I'll tell you, that's probably a big reason why... You know, they did that. I mean, it's the Superman costume, but also, like, okay, if we ever need, like, some super-powered stock footage, we can, like, kind of pull back. And that was only a few episodes ago, so it's not like they pulled something from, like, season two where it really wouldn't match. Just a fun trivia note there. But we get that, and then he super speeds in and scoops up Lana. In my mind, that, you know, I'm thinking that they probably didn't put that in the beginning, and somebody said, well, how do you know she was there and whatever? Like, oh, we'll put in a shot of him X-raying or something, and that's where that came from. But it's like down to the minute because, you know, like you were saying earlier, right? So they have this C4 that's going to blow up, and Flynn is like, we got to disarm the bomb, and Harris is like, no, we got to go. Like, you're just going to let this Lana die.
Yep. Right? This teenage girl who, you know, whatever. But Clark gets to super speed through the explosion, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is literally a last second save. Yeah. Like, but it's actually very iconic looking, like Superman-esque save. When first of all, very impressive building explosion. Like they clearly really blew up a building, or at least bought some stock footage where they blew up a building. I'm not sure. But you know, the shot where the building's blowing up and Clark has Lana in his arms and he's super speeding toward the camera, that could be like Superman saving Lois in like a Superman movie or something.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. Or a frame in a comic book. You know, it was very iconic looking. So that was really cool. And then yeah, this building is blown to hell. Like they got like four cameras on it. You know, they got their money's worth out of this explosion.
So technically, the bad guys succeeded in their mission.
If there was a ship there,
yeah. I mean, they didn't know that, but their mission actually was a success because I'm sure there's going to be fire and media people there. So
mm-hmm. hopefully, Lex cleared that place out entirely and didn't leave any blueprints sitting around. know, where's Lana's purse right now with those blueprints? That's what we really need to find.
Oh, good question.
But you know, they show you know, they don't show Harris being arrested. So like I don't know what her deal is, but they show Flynn being arrested, and he's like, she's in it. They know there's a ship here. Like, and this is where I felt kind of sorry for the guy because it's like he's right, and nobody believes him, and now people are gonna think he's a terrorist or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, but it's just again honesty, and that's why he's mad at Lana. I think that's why they, I don't know, that not that she deserved to die from this, but they're like, I told the truth and you didn't say anything. Like they tell that to Lana earlier, and that's why they're kind of mad at her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like if you. Like, you got to think this through, man. Like, if you see a spaceship and aliens and stuff, I'm like, all right, who am I going to tell? You know,
Right? Yeah. You don't want to do is get all angry and yell at people that there are real life spaceships and aliens. Like, people aren't going to take you very seriously. So
yeah, it's going to undermine your argument. Yeah. But then Clark, you know, I know that Clark and Lex are kind of on the rocks here at this point in the series, but he is so like blown away and doesn't believe the fact that like Lex was putting his life on the line to save Lana, you know, because he like when Lana's getting you know, with an EMT and stuff and getting checked out, he's like, I can't believe Lex sitting here and knowing there was no ship. She was like, no, it was my idea. It was the only way to save Lex. He's like, what? You would do that for Lex? I'm like, oh, this is Superman. I know he's young Superman, but come on, man. Lex used to be your best friend. So have a little more compassion for your fellow man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It just feels like he's stuck in his, anger right now. And he just can't see through it, but. It does feel weird though, for like as a character thing.
Yeah, because she's like, Lex saved my life.
Yeah,
and then of course the drama now for Clark is, and he even says it in the episode, which is pretty funny. But it's like he saved her life too in a much bigger way. But of course, says he won't tell Lana the truth. You know, she's not going to know that. So Lex gets all this credit, and then she doesn't. And yeah, even when she woke up earlier, she was like, "What happened?" He's like, oh, I don't know. I found you out here. Just like, what are you talking about, man? So then we get to, you know, our last scene with the Kents at the Kent house, and they're watching Jonathan's campaign commercial. And I like how he says, I think the flag was a bit much
in the
political commercial. And, you know, Lois comes to apologize. She's like, I'm sorry, but they cut her off. She's like, hey, Lois, we know. Martha took the money. Thank you for falling on your sword. So I think, you know, as much as I think giving Lois Lane all these odd jobs for years on the show before she becomes Lois Lane, like political manager for Jonathan Kent, like what is that, right? For it's like giving her something to do. I do like how this shows her character through this. So anyway, that's a plus there.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a positive for me when Lois is involved. So even though it doesn't kind of make sense, like, yeah, like you said, let's give this young girl the, you know, keys to the political campaign with no political experience. It's like, okay, it's more Lois, so I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. But Jonathan, he does say, he's like, look, I understand why you guys did what you did, but I'm no longer the man on that campaign commercial. I'm not the man you married. And I'm like, come on, Jonathan, like it's not that bad.
It's a little dramatic, yeah.
So what he's done is he's sold the back 40, which is something that they've, you know, mentioned a few times over the course of the show, because he has this check and he's like, I'm going to pay Lionel Luther every cent back that he gave us. And like, you sold the back 40. It's been in our family for generations. And he's like, well, you know, I haven't done anything with it in years. I'm like, yeah, why didn't you sell this every time they talk about all these financial problems? Like, you could have sold this years ago, right?
I wonder how much of the debt that would have covered.
That's true. See, even for this, he's like, well, it's not the whole thing, but it's a start. You know, it's like, okay. But yeah, he has this check, and I something tells me that they get it back, or maybe, I know they talk about, like, the back 40 later on, I thought. But maybe I'm wrong, because that's the thing in my head about Smallville. I remember that terminology. I've never lived on a farm. I'm not even sure what that would look like, 40 acres. I mean, I guess that's a lot of land.
Quite a bit of land. I wonder how big the farm is in general. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we're always seeing new areas of the farm. Yeah. Like, even in this episode, like, when Lois was talking to Jonathan earlier, and he's, like, feeding the horses and stuff. I'm like, since when do y'all have horses? Where's this? Like, this is that side of the barn we never see, apparently.
Sometimes they have animals. Sometimes they don't. It's okay.
Yeah. But hey, it's a farm. Yeah. So if we don't see them, they're probably off in the back 40, basically, is what the answer is. But not anymore, because we sold it. So Lex is now in the hospital. He's kind of getting ready. And I was like, oh, I was kind of, because, you know, I don't remember this episode that well. I don't really revisit it. I was like, oh, we're going to get like a Clark and Lex scene? That'd be cool, right? No, it's a Lex and Lana scene. I'm like, oh, I see. And it's a lot of talk about truth and moving forward. Lex is going to be honest with her, and he's like, oh, we can still find the ship and find the answers to the questions that have affected our whole lives. And, you know, it's true. That's why the two of them are so into this ship, because, like, the two of them's lives have been completely affected by this meteor shower. Lex is bald. Lana lost her parents. So there's a lot of truth to that. But he, like, sticks out his hand. He's like, can we be partners? She's like, no, let's try being friends. I'm like, what? I thought you were friends. Like, not friends?
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. It's a little cheesy, and that pause that they give when he's like, partners, no. And then like 10 seconds goes by. Friends. It's like, okay, that was okay, we get it. Yeah, but I thought they were friends already too, so I'm not really sure why we needed to reestablish that fact. But
well, the important thing is Clark sees them hugging,
that's
right?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So we get a little bit of jealousy there. It's just a hug. And he's he almost died. They went through like a life and death situation together. It's not a big deal, Clark. Don't be a creeper, man, just standing back there.
he always shows up at these worst possible times. Like it happened in like the season 3 finale when Lex takes Lana to the airport or the train station, wherever she went. And he's like going to bring her a rose, but he sees like Lex and Lana are hugging. He's like, "Oh, well, I guess I can't say anything now because they're hugging." Like, bro, it's okay. Like, just you can still like, "Oh, hey guys." Like, you can still do that. It gets worse later on when he shows up and then like kissing, for example, later on this season. But poor old Clark. And then he sees that and he immediately leaves. And Lana sees him, and Lex is like, "What is it?" She's like, "Oh, it's nothing." I'm like, "Now it's your boyfriend. What do you mean it's nothing?" Right?
And she doesn't think it weird that he just disappears because he just goes. Like, he just super speeds away, I guess. And
right.
Whatever.
And he immediately super speeds over to Chloe. And I do like, and this kind of shows you, I mean, look, it's young Superman, right? So he has a different mindset. He's like complaining to Chloe about how like Lana and Lex and their lives, how they like saved each other's lives and all that. And Chloe's like, "Hey, look, I know you're like, you know, not the biggest fan of Lex right now, but he put his life on the line to save Lana." He's like, "Well, I saved her from a bomb. Doesn't that count?" This is a very immature response, I think. Yeah. And she's like, "Hey, that would be great if she knew, but she doesn't." And,
which is your choice. That's on you, Clark. So,
but see, I've been saying this though. So spoilers for the next 100th episode, right? He's like, "All right, I'm finally going to tell her." All right. And guess what happens? She dies the same day.
Does not work out well, yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, I know we're giving Clark a lot of crap for not telling Lana, but he finally tells her she dies the same day. All right? So that's his big fear. But then, you know, just to twist the knife into Chloe's poor heart, he, like, looks into Chloe's eyes, and he's like, "I love her so much, Chloe." And it's this great, like, reaction shot of Chloe, like, "I know." It's like, you know this girl is in love with you, and you're telling her that you're in love with this other girl, and you can never see yourself with anyone else. But basically, we end on the note of Chloe saying, "Look," Clark says, "I want to spend the rest of my life with her." And she's like, "Well, you're going to have to tell her your secret." Right? And that's what we do in the next episode, the 100th episode. So, 99th episode, I guess a good way to tee up the beginning of the next one. And there you have it. I feel like we could have used a little more resolution for the whole spaceship plot. Maybe some reaction to Sheriff Adams dying.
Yeah.
You know, like, you remember way back in season 1, Whitney's dad died. We got a whole funeral and it's like rainy. We had a great song, you know, and he was like in 2 scenes of that whole show. Sheriff Adams, you know, 20 something episodes, right? I mean, I know this is a pretty packed episode here, but some Mitch, I mean, to your point, you kind of forgotten if they even acknowledged the fact she died. Because it is so, you know, I mean, hey, we mentioned Tasha Yar. She got a great send off in her episode.
That's right.
Gen.
And so, she keeps coming back. So
she keeps coming back. So I don't know. Like, I feel like something for Sheriff Adams would have been appropriate here. But that's all we get. We've moved on past her. We're teeing up the 100th episode at the end of this one.
Yeah. I mean, really, the whole episode feels like it's there to set up 100. You know, the self-contained parts, the parts that are just this episode, you know, they don't reach very far, but most of the episode just is carrying the story to a place where they can get ready for 100. So, you know, stuff like Sheriff Adams dying in the spaceship, like, it's like, that stuff's not the important part. It's this other, the character stuff that we're setting up, you know, Clark coming to this realization and the stuff with Jonathan as well. So yeah, it's the big one's the next one. So of course it makes sense that 99 is maybe a little bit more forgettable than some episodes.
She knows where the spaceship is. Don't let her lie to you. She's working with Luther. She knows everything.
What are you not? How you doing?
Doing all right, considering I almost got blown up.
Can't believe Lex would risk your life like that.
Clark.
Lana, he knew there was no ship in that warehouse.
Clark, it wasn't his idea. I brought them here on my own.
You did?
It's my only chance to get Lex help.
You risked your life for Lex?
He did the same thing for me back at the mansion. Clark, if it wasn't for him, I'd probably be dead. Lex saved my life.
Lockdown got an 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 1 out of 5. He was not a fan.
Wow, two opposite ends of the spectrum there, huh?
Yeah. So, as always, I will post Superman homepage reviews on our social media so you guys can find out what his grievances were with the episodes there. But I ask you, Dan, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Lockdown?
So, I would give it a C. I would put it squarely in the middle. It is both not bad and not good. There are good parts to it for sure, but I rewatching it, it made me remember why it was so forgettable. It's just kind of the episode that happens. I mean, important things happen in it, and it sets up a lot for the next episode, of course. But because of that sort of big serialization part of it, it doesn't stand out in any sort of way. So to me, it's kind of just is an episode. It's just an episode, and it's Sheriff Adams dies, which is, like we talked about, like that's a big kind of a big deal, but it's not treated as a big deal in the episode. So, yeah, I it's not bad. It's just not great. It's just, I don't want to call it filler because it has so much important stuff that happens for the next episode, but that's kind of what it feels like to me. So I'd give it a C.
Yeah, I was on the fence about this one too because there's some great stuff in here, but ultimately I'm gonna go with a B minus for this one. There are definitely some enjoyable and some iconic shots actually, and then Sheriff Adams dying. As we said, I remember kind of focused on that, but that to me that's this episode's claim to fame. And she had a good little chunk of a couple things to do, and she died. And it's like, let's have some kind of, I'm not saying we got to have a funeral for every character that dies, but it's like, at least, when Alicia died in season 4, right? At least Clark went to her grave, there was a moment of like, this character has passed, just at least that. And we didn't get that. And I think that hurts it. And you're right. I think it's filler's not the word for it, but it is just kind of there. And that's why we're both like, yeah, Lockdown. The panic room, okay, but the panic room really isn't that big a part of it. No. To be honest, it's a story point, but I'm still going to count that movie plot as an episode. So, but anyway, a C for you, a B minus for me. Speaking of the tally board, let's get into it. We have a +1 for our blue shirt, red jacket, because Clark wears his pseudo Superman costume. That brings us to 31. We have a +1 for hospital visit, because Lex goes to the hospital. Let me ask you, Dan. We're in the 99th episode of Smallville. How many hospital visits do you think we're at by now?
99th episode, I would say 50 at least.
We are at 78, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. They certainly got their use out of that set, huh?
I live for the day that it overtakes the episode count. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it's coming up quick. So
that's impressive.
But yes, 78 hospital visits. Jeez. So far. We have a +1 for knockout to keep Clark's secret because Lana gets knocked out before he saves her at the end. +1, that brings us to 31. We have a +1 for Lois arm punches because Lois gives Clark one when she shows up at the Kent farm. Tell him to turn that frown upside down. So that's 5. And then we have a +1 for movie plot as an episode because I am counting Panic Room because Panic Room was a pretty big plot point here and it was kind of in the public consciousness at the time. And that's what a lot of these movie plots in an episode were like, hey, guys, you like Fast and the Furious? Well, here we go. Or, stuff like that.
Oh, man.
That makes it 11. And then we have a Bechdel test pass because mainly for the scene where Sheriff Adams is talking to Harris at the Luther Mansion. That's a purely professional conversation. Mm-hmm. Two women not talking about men relationship-wise or anything of that nature. So I'm going to count this one as a Bechdel test pass.
Excellent.
So there you have it, Dan. A lot of fun, as always, talking about some Smallville. No new powers for you this season, but we'll hit you back next year. So
sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah, I'm ready for more Clark powers.
If people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
Twitter would be the best place. You can find me there at OneUpDan. That is the number one, not the word. And message me. Tweet at me about this episode. Tell me what you think. You can also find me on SETI Alpha 3 on the Nerd Party Network, where we talk about Star Trek all the time. And, we're right coming up right against a tsunami of Star Trek content. There's going to be 8,000 shows. So
right.
So come give us a listen. And we talk about that all the time.
do you think Denise Crosby will come back for Star Trek Picard?
You know, the show does deal with the Romulans. It's definitely possible Sela comes back in some capacity. I don't know. I hope
she
not.
She always finds a way. I wouldn't put it past him to bring her back as Sela. Yeah, because that's a character that didn't get any resolution.
Yep.
So anyway, yes. Well, yeah, very much looking forward to Star Trek Picard coming up by the time of this recording. Yep. So, alrighty. Well, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue. We talk about movies, remakes, sequels, reboots, all that good stuff. When a franchise gets fatigued, you can find us on Twitter at UFPEarth. And finally, I'm a host of Standard Orbit, Trek FM's original series podcast. We talk about all things Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast, you can find us at Always Smallville with one S. On Twitter, you can find us on Facebook at Always Alone in Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. But next time, the 100th episode, Reckoning. Big time, guys. So stay tuned for that. The death of Jonathan Kent, spoilers.
Whoa. What? I haven't seen it yet.
But until then, guys, always hold on to Smallville. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Dallas Hernandez, Cavante Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Jim Thomas, Joe Makendo, Steve Rogers, Thomas Navin, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Mariotti Sachi, Alana Gibbs, Casey Cochran, Andrew Parker, Catherine Emmerich, James Lee, James Bandini II, Adam Sullins, Corey Moore, Dylan D'Antonio, Kathleen Holland, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Meinard, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Rachel Miller, Will Hunt, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirsch, Anthony Anderson, Joey Deinberg, Fress Horshey, Lonnie Williamson, and Dave Giannoccio. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.